Church. I prefer to use the handheld mic because I like to move around. As Sayuri said, my name is Lisette Hernandez, and I assist the Modesto Spanish Church, where I help out with women ministries. And it is a great pleasure to be with you here today, this morning. Now, a wise man once told me that everything you have to say can be said in 15 minutes or less. So if we start the clock, I plan to finish in 15 minutes, okay? I'm going to try out his theory. This was the person who told me this was the president of a conference. We were doing an evangelistic series, and he said, Lisette, what you need to say, you could say in 15 minutes. So we're going to take him up on his word. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to look up the scripture reading in 1 Samuel chapter 1. And just keep your Bible there. We're going to be referencing this text, this scripture. Have you ever taken time to look at your life, and when you see it, you realize that maybe this isn't the life that you thought you would be living at this point? For example, when I was a little girl, I used to think, by the time I'm 25, I'll be married. By the time I'm 30, I'll have X amount of children. I'll have my own home. And I'm 28, and it's not happened. I thought, while in school, I thought, by the time I graduate, I'll have the perfect job. I graduated, and I don't have the perfect job. And I can go on and on and on. And you might be able, looking at your life, and say, well, at this time I thought I'd be retired. Or at this time I thought that I'd be done paying off this house. Or at this time I thought that my family would be complete. At this time, at this point in my life, things are supposed to be different. But you look and you see, and life is not what you thought it was going to be. Can anybody testify to that? All right, okay, I'm not speaking to empty pews. I realize that, right? And so especially now with this problem that's going on with the economic stimulus, and is it going to happen, is it not? Are we going to get a piece of that? Can it help us, right? And I realized that in my home church, one of the things that keeps reoccurring and keeps coming up in conversations is the word fear. I fear that I won't have enough. I fear that things aren't going to come out as we thought. All the planning that we've done up to this point really is useless because things are not what they thought we thought were going to be. And as we look at the scripture, 1 Samuel, we'll start off in chapter 1, verse 2. And the scripture is talking about Elkanah. Now, I'm Mexican, and I speak Spanish. Spanish is my first language, so I might pronounce things with my Spanish accent. And if I get really excited, words might come out in Spanish, so I'm going to just warn you, okay? So verse 2, he had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave double the portion because he loved her. And the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. Now, I don't know how many of you have a Peninnah in your life where somebody's just poking you and irritating you to the point where you get irritated and completely thrown out of your, we would say in Spanish, casillas, out of your comfort zone. And this was what was going on to Hannah. Now, we don't know how old she was at this point. We do know that eventually her husband married another woman because she was unable to what? Give children. So once he marries this other woman starts popping out children because that's what they did. You know, a woman was there to provide her husband children to carry the name. They wanted not only children, but they wanted strong men. And Hannah wasn't giving her husband children. And so maybe we can say that Hannah's life was not what she thought it was going to be. She must have married her husband, and she thought, wow, you know, he's going to take me. I'm going to have this great tent. And as soon as he knows me, you know, we're going to start having children. And I'm going to give him so many children. And we're going to be so happy. And I'm going to have little ones running around. And as soon as one comes out, I'll have another one. And I'll be breastfeeding one. And then I'll have another one and another one and another one. But that didn't happen to her. The text tells us that her womb was dry. She wasn't having any children. So her life was not what she thought it was going to be. And not only was she not having children, but now there's another woman in the tent. Another woman living next to her. So she not only has to share her husband, but she sees that this woman is having children like she was supposed to have children. Now, women, sometimes, we're a little envious. Now, I don't want to say that all women are envious and that in every situation, but you have to think that this was a very important part of her life because a woman was supposed to have children. And the text tells us that year after year, they went to Shiloh to bring the offering, right? The burnt offering. And every year, this woman would provoke her and irritate her to the point where Hannah would begin weeping and crying. So let's continue reading. Let's go back to verse 6. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her. Now the word provoking, let me look it up over here. In Hebrew, the definition is to cause her thunder. Not just mad, irate, but thunder. Now, I want you to keep that in mind. The Lord had closed a room. Her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. There are very few things that keep me from eating. But I can imagine that this would be one of them. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once, when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son. Then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk. Now, at this time and point, if we go to the end of the book of Judges, it tells us how perverse the people were, you know. And we're surprised to hear that even though Eli's two sons were being priests there and they were serving, a lot of people no longer wanted to go to the temple, no longer wanted to go to the tabernacle, because they weren't agreeing with what his two sons were doing. But Elkanah, even though these two sons were there, would take his wives up there and his sons and would participate. Point number one. Even if we do not agree with what is going on or the way things are being dealt or run in the church, we still go to church and we still participate. We still come to the Lord and we still bring our offerings. Even if. Point number two. She's there, right? She's in her innermost. She's got all this quarreling going on. And we hear, because the Bible tells us that she's been crying, she's irate, and to the point of thunder, she's upset. Does she go and pick a fight with the sister wife? The Bible doesn't tell us that. The Bible doesn't tell us that she retaliated with that thunder. It only tells us that she goes to the door and that Eli is sitting there and she begins to pray. Now, she doesn't pray like the Hebrews do, because at that time and in that culture, they used to pray out loud so that everybody could hear what they were saying. How was she praying? What does the Bible tell us? That she was praying in her heart, that her lips were moving, but that nothing was being heard. To the point where Eli thought that she was what? Drunk. And he said, pass your wine, get over it, then come. But she wasn't drunk. She was there and she was pleading with the Lord, saying, remember me, look at my misery. How many of us pray like that to the Lord? There are times when we pray dry prayers when there's nothing to pray about. Maybe no problems, everything is going perfectly fine, and we're thankful, but how about those times when we pray with the innermost being, when we cry out to God as Hannah was? Do we expect and do we know that the Lord hears our prayer? Amen. He does hear our prayer. She's saying, remember me, hear my misery, do not forget me. So Hannah replies, I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Maybe things aren't going the way you thought they were going to go. Maybe your life isn't where it should be. Maybe the family that you thought, the kids that you thought would be in church, maybe they're not in church. Maybe your finances aren't in order like you thought they would be. Maybe your job is gone. And maybe you keep looking at your closet and wish that there was more in it. Or you open the refrigerator and realize that there's not as much as there used to be. But when we go to the Lord in prayer, when we go to Him with our problems, however big they may be, for Hannah it was a child. For Hannah it was wanting to be validated as a woman. But whatever your problems are, whatever my problems are, I can go with complete faith unto the Lord, knowing that He listens to me when I call. Knowing that when we pour out our hearts, just as this woman did, the Lord will answer. Let us see what Scripture tells us. So Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of Him. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way, ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Now, this is important to me. Her face was no longer downcast. How many times do we not walk around with this long horse face? You know, like things are really bad. And I know things are bad. I just graduated. I have a big student loan debt, and I don't have a job. So is there reason for me to be downcast? Maybe. But I'm not going to let that get to me. And I tell you, don't let things get to you. Once you have presented your petition to the Lord, get up, eat, and change that face. Don't let it be a downcast face. It is so important that when we go to God, that we realize that we're not just speaking out loud, that someone is listening. God is listening, and God will answer. I believe it in my heart. I really, really do. And it's important that we, when we go to Him in prayer and we let go of all of those things that we're carrying, that backpack full of stones, because that's what it is. Every problem is a stone we add onto our back. And when we go to the Lord and we present what we have and we go to him in prayer and we let it all out and we tell him our anguish, our troubles, our pain, it's important to leave it there. Leave it at the feet of the cross. Leave it there. Turn around and walk away. Hannah was no longer downcast. No more. She wasn't sad. You know, even though I told you what the word was, it was thunder. Sometimes it's not sadness. Sometimes it's anger. You're angry that things are not the way they're supposed to be. You're angry at what they did to you. You're angry at your situation. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. So she goes on in her merry way. And let's read what verse 19 says. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and they went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Do you think that the Lord has forgotten you? I don't think he has forgotten us. But if we haven't approached him in prayer, maybe he needs to hear your supplication a little bit more. Maybe you need to pray a little bit louder. Maybe you need to pray a little bit more frequently, just in case you've thought the Lord has forgotten. But he hasn't. He doesn't forget. The Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." A lot of you, a lot of us, will be praying and asking for the Lord something, for something in particular, whatever it may be. At the end, I'd like to think that we'll remember and say, "Because the Lord answered my prayer, because the Lord gave me what I asked for." She kept her promise. The Bible tells us that after she was done weaning him, she took him to the temple and he served. A lot of times we promise things to God. "Oh Lord, if you just give me this, I promise you, God. I promise you, I promise you, I promise you." And when the Lord hears our prayer over and over, and out of the goodness of his heart, he answers our prayer, whoo, we're quick. Quick to forget what we've said to the Lord. Quick. Fast. But Hannah didn't forget. And even though she could have been, "Oh, Lord, but I really wanted one, and I wanted him to be around the tent and bring me happiness." No. Hannah put aside her desires and kept her promise to God. We have to remember that. That when the Lord keeps his promise and when the Lord answers our prayer, let us not forget to dedicate whatever it is that he has given us. Dedicate it and give it back to the Lord. Whether it be in service, in use, you know, whatever it may be. I told you that we would finish in 15 minutes, so let me wrap it up. I truly believe that the Lord is more than willing and able to answer when we call. I truly believe that when we go to him, all of our anxiety, all of our problems, everything that we have can be left there at the cross. And I truly believe that prayer is the key to a happy heart. I want to do something a little bit different. Hannah went to the temple and asked for her son. Now there, we already did a prayer garden, and that's not what I want to do. What I do want to do is this. If there is somebody here who has a special request for a blessing, whether it be a desire of the heart, whether it be a situation at home, whether it be whatever it may be, whatever it is that has your heart afflicted, and you want to ask the Lord for a special blessing, I want to repeat the blessing that Eli said to Hannah before she left. And what I want to do at this moment is, if you have something that you want to put in the Lord's hands and you want to ask him to bless, and you don't have to say it out loud, because she didn't. She didn't say it out loud. You know, she said it in her heart and she mouthed it, but nobody heard what she said. So at this moment, if you have a special request that you would like to say, I'm going to ask you to stand up and just say it in your mind. Mouth it if you want to. But we're going to say the blessing. I'm just going to say it. It's not going to be a prayer. It's just a blessing. It's the blessing that Eli said to Anna. Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. That's the blessing that we're asking for today. Gracious Father, I'm so grateful that you gave me this opportunity to come here and to share this short story with my friends. Father, at this moment, I'm asking you to search the hearts of my brothers and sisters. We're asking you to remember them, Father. We are asking you, Father, to do according to your will. Let us know that you are more than capable of providing for all of our needs, and that you are more than capable of casting away all fear, because your perfect love does that. We love you and we praise you for your many blessings. And we want to tell you, Father, that we plan to dedicate to you our desires of our heart, just as Hannah dedicated Samuel. We want to give this and put it in your hands, Father. May it be a blessing for the rest of the congregation as well. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. I don't have my bulletin, but I think that there's a closing hymn. Maybe we should sing it so we can go out in praise.
Okay, 309. And if not, hopefully follow up there and Sam, you'll do the clicking. Because I can't do both. Let us stand. Trust him in his
Our Heavenly Father, we ask you that you fill us with your peace, and may others know that we have been blessed today. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen.